Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Oh, yeah, it is Daddy Soda time. In more ways than one, actually, because we are about T-minus 2 hours till I hop on a party bus and head down to Fran's backyard, Lincoln Financial Field, to go to the Guns N' Roses concert tonight. So a good day for us to be recording the College Draft podcast, and a good day, Fran, to be talking about Daddy Sodas.
Some would say that every day is a good day to be talking about Daddy Sodas, Russ.
Nice. There's no. You're not going to the concert tonight, are you?
My wife is going. I got her tickets, but I am not going. I'm not partaking. But you enjoy yourself.
What a good husband you are.
It'll be a great time.
You are a really, really good husband. That's impressive. Speaking of impressive, what Fran brings to the table each and every week, beyond impressive. You guys should just see the notes that he has on all these players. I mean, we talk about tuckheads.com a lot. We talk about people with the sickness or the disease. Fran, you are up there among the biggest sickos in the country. You really are. It is unbelievable how much you love this, how much you're into it. I have thoroughly enjoyed the series we've done over the last 4 or 5 weeks, breaking down how to evaluate different positions. We've gone through pretty much every position group. Today we're going to have probably the most impressive expert we've ever had on the show. I mean, if you're talking a guy that is the guy to talk to about pretty much anything in life, that is our interview today. So really, really looking forward to talking with him a little bit later. Next week, though, Fran, we're going to start the way we started the podcast 1 year ago with the conference previews with some of the top players from the non-Power 5 conferences and independents. And six of those guys, Fran, were first-round picks last year.
Yeah, it's, you know, we had two top 10 picks, Ronnie Stanley, Carson Wentz. You had two quarterbacks, so you throw Paxton Lynch in there from Memphis. A lot of really talented players this year, too, coming up from these kind of conferences. So we will have a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Notre Dame is kind of in a category unto themselves. But it is interesting that Carson Wentz and Paxton Lynch, you know, two of the first-round picks, both came from non-Power 5 conferences, which, I don't know, makes you scratch your head a little bit, I guess, in terms of the high school recruiting process. Both those guys, big, strong arms, impressive, but they both had their reasoning and their stories for why they ended up where they did. Without further ado, though, we've got to get to this guest. I mean, it's truly an honor and a privilege to have him as our interview today.
Best available interview.
Well, you know that we only save the best for the College Draft podcast, and we try to get the best names each and every week here. So without further ado, I'm very happy to bring in former NFL offensive lineman, a celebrity in the podcast industry and really just in media and life, Ross Tucker. Ross, thanks for joining us here on the College Draft Podcast.
Absolutely, Fran. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Ross, today we want to talk about the offensive line and really the obviously the most important position in football. I mean, let's lay it all out on the table. What are the three most important traits for you when you're looking at some of these college offensive linemen?
It's funny because I wrote down awareness, playing temperament, and feet. Those are the things that I wrote down as the three most important things to me. And it's funny because then I was thinking about all the offensive line coaches I had over the years, Fran. And one of whom who was really good, he's actually back in the league now, Dante Scarnecchia with the Patriots. And he always says, I've talked to him about this recently, he always says he evaluates it like this: smart, tough, and athletic enough. And it occurred to me that when I say awareness, that's basically smart. When I say playing temperament, that's basically toughness. And when I say feet, that's basically being athletic enough. I don't get caught up as much as other people do. Certainly not in height. I think height is overrated. I do think arm length helps. I do care about skill and hand placement and those type of things. Weight, I think, is a little overrated as well. To me, it's athletic enough. So there's certain minimums for height, weight, and those things. But I don't get too goo-goo gaga. Oh, my gosh, he's 6'7", 330. And that certainly helps. You know, arm length, there's no question arm length helps, especially at offensive tackle. And there's no question that, you know, the bigger you are, a lot of times, you know, it takes longer to get around you. So it does help. But, man, oh, man, if you're smart, if you're tough, and you've got good feet, then you really, really have a shot. And so in terms of purely evaluating Fran, when I say smart, that is FBI, football intelligence. And it is how quickly do you see things and understand what's happening? So much of offensive line play is angles, and it's getting between yourself and the guy with the ball, and it's understanding where your help is. It's understanding what the goal of the play is, the double team, when to wait to come off on the linebacker, when you feel like a stunt's going to happen because of the alignment of the tackle or the end is a little bit off the ball. Those type of things, awareness, football intelligence, being smart, whatever you want to call it, Fran, that is vitally important because of all of the different things that get thrown at you as an NFL offensive lineman. If that doesn't come naturally for you, it's really hard to play. Now, I'll say this. It did not come naturally, Fran, for Jason Peters. I was with him in Buffalo. He really struggled with that aspect of the game. But he eventually figured it out, and it came to him, and he was so athletic that he was worth continuing to work with. And at tackle especially, you're so often blocking the end man that you can get away with it a little bit more at tackle than you can inside. It's not a position where you get a lot of glory, and you're really trying to tenderize the meat. You're really trying to bludgeon the opponent. So you really need to be tenacious. You really need to be physically and mentally tough because we need you to be able to play through injuries and not just play through injuries. We need you when you've got, you know, a broken hand or dislocated finger or whatever. We need you to still punch another 320-pound human being as hard as you can, even though you're dealing with that physical ailment yourself. That takes a different type of individual to do that. And then the feet part is really how quickly do you get out of your stance? How quickly do you change direction? How good is your balance? So how about that for a first answer right out of the gate, Mr. Duffy?
Well, I mean, I didn't even want to try and interrupt you. You were on a roll, but let me ask you this, because full disclosure, the offensive line is certainly the position I still have so much to learn across the board, but offensive line for sure is the one that I definitely have the most to learn still. And with all positions, I really struggle going from, you know, in season, we're watching and we're seeing who's playing well in the NFL and who's playing well in college football. And yeah, this player is playing well. This guy's not playing well. But I find it hard to discern the difference between a player and a prospect at times. Because, yeah, right now this guy might not be a good player, but down the road, look, an offensive line coach can look at these two or three things and say, oh, I can fix that in 2 weeks of practice, and this guy will be right as rain by the time we get to week one. How much of those traits, when you talk about smart, tough, athletic enough, how much of that can you improve on once you make the jump, and how much of it do you think is, you know, if you either have it or you don't, or is it kind of a case-by-case basis?
You know, I think for the most part, you have it or you don't for all three. And I think when you look at mistakes that are made in the NFL, it feels like a lot of times it's made when coaches or whomever get enamored with physical traits and believe and have, and maybe it's just a confidence thing, Fran, that they have so much confidence in their ability to be able to get a guy to play the way they want and to coach a guy up, that they'll draft a guy like Greg Robinson, number two overall to the Rams, instead of Jake Matthews, even though Jake Matthews is clearly a better player, because Greg Robinson has this upside and this unbelievable physical makeup, this piece of clay that you think, boy, if you just let me work with that. The problem is maybe the light will come on for Greg. It hasn't yet, but, you know, he's going into whatever year. So year three, I guess. So maybe it'll come on like, you know, like it did for Jason Peters. And I think that that is the hope. But I guess I would say, Fran, no matter how good of a coach you are, there's really only so much you can do in terms of someone's ability to process information and football intelligence. I mean, I remember a guy, and I'll say his name. It was Calvin Armstrong. He was a seventh-round pick of the Eagles, actually, I think. Right, Fran?
I was going to say, yeah. The name's
from, yeah, sixth definitely seventh-round pick of the Eagles. Yep, and he was a big, strong kid, and he was physical, and he was tough, and he had pretty good technique, and he had everything you needed to be a starting right tackle in the NFL, except the football awareness thing just did not come naturally to him. He would study his playbook so much. I had so much respect and admiration for him. He wanted it so bad. He tried so hard. It's just when he was actually out there, Fran, and a stunt was coming or a blitz came, he just didn't sense it. He just didn't feel it. He just didn't see it. He just never got it. And you can't play that guy, because that happens a lot in the NFL. And if you're not picking those things up, your quarterback is a dead man. And so he was as close as I've ever seen as a guy to being a starter and making a ton of money, but just having this sort of fatal flaw which prevented him from being what he was working for and what everything else about him would have allowed for.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Someone has told me in the past that the worst thing you can say about an offensive lineman is that he's a waistbender and that he doesn't have good knee bend. How do you feel about that? Is that something also that is important to you? And then also, what does good knee bend look like for, you know, if you're watching a run blocker and a pass blocker? And then what does bad knee bend look like in both facets of the game?
Yeah, I personally think that that's a little bit overrated, because what they're really saying is you want the guy to be able to get low enough but under balance to be able to have some pop in the running game, and you want him to be able to stay low in the passing game when he's getting bull rushed but still be able to move laterally. So that's really what they're saying by that. And what I guess I would say to you, Fran, if a guy can get movement in the running game and not fall flat on his face without being too much of a knee bender, or in the passing game be able to sit, just be naturally strong against a bull without being too much of a knee bender, who cares? You know, I mean, what you're looking for is you're looking for their ability to drop their butt. We say a knee bender, but if you think about the difference between a guy that's bending at the knees versus bending at the waist, really just look at their butt. Just really look at their butt. Does he have an ability to drop his butt? Now, the point I make about that is I was really good at that and I could really, part of it was just my body type, but I could really get low and stay low. But Fran, I wasn't overly athletic, and I wasn't overly powerful in the running game. So I was a good knee bender, but I don't really know what that ended up doing for me. You know, I mean, I guess if I wasn't as good of a knee bender, I would have been even worse than I already was. But I think that is a little bit overrated. In other words, I've seen guys that aren't great knee benders that are great players. And I've seen guys like me that was a really good knee bender that, you know, was, you know, a journeyman.
So back to the technique standpoint of it, this was something that interested me a few weeks ago. We had Booger McFarland on talking about defensive line play, and you brought up the important. We asked him about the importance of the first step for defensive linemen, and you thought, or and you brought up how you thought that the second step for an offensive lineman was also so important. Can you just, what does that look like for you? And then also just explain to the listeners too, what advantage does that bring to have not only that good first step as an offensive lineman, but also a good second step?
Well, everything, every block you make, you want to be in balance, right? So you want to have your feet underneath you in a good athletic position, you know, almost like when you're at shortstop or third base, or the same thing that in basketball, you know, that natural athletic position. And that first step, initial quickness, is important. But with that first step, you're not in balance and you're not really ready to strike somebody. You really don't want to strike them, whether it's pass pro or in the run game, until you get that second foot down, because then you're really coming back to balance. And so to me, I used to work so hard on how fast, all I would think about in my stance was how fast I could get that second foot down. Because if you get the second foot down, you're in balance before contact. And if you, so you have some momentum, and then you get in balance before you make contact, you have a great opportunity then to sustain that contact, whether it's the run game or the passing game. If you don't get the second foot down, then you're not going to be in balance. And then you're going to end up losing the block. You're going to get thrown off the guy, or you're going to just fall down, or you're not going to have any power, and he's going to chuck you. So to me, I used to say all off season, Fran, the whole month right now in July, I'd be saying 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. And I get in my stance, every position, left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. How fast can I get that second foot down? Because you watch tape, and I know you watch a lot, Fran. Watch the guy when they have a successful block. Watch when they have an unsuccessful block. A lot of times it is because that is right when they either got their second step down or they didn't. Do you have one more for me?
I do. I've got one more. And this is a position-specific thing. How much does it mean to you? And this is we all do it when we're talking about draft prospects and say, oh, this guy's a left tackle, this guy's a pure right tackle. How much does that mean to you? Obviously, you watch the league now. You watch how defenses play, how they game plan, how they attack weaknesses in an offense. How much does it mean to you the difference between a left tackle and a right tackle in today's game?
There's almost no difference. Because of all of the good rushers off the right side, Von Miller, Justin Houston, J.J. Watt. I mean, are you kidding me? Look at the guys getting the most sacks. They're all coming over the right tackle. And that's because offensive line coaches, front offices, etc., have not figured out yet that you need the right tackle to be every bit the pass protector as the left tackle. And so when you hear them say, you know, in the pre-draft process, this guy's a left tackle, this guy's a right tackle, what they're really saying is this guy has really good feet. This guy's feet aren't quite as good. Now, nowadays, you better look at it and say, well, they both better be able to pass protect, and it comes down to whether or not they're able to get the job done, no matter how good their feet they have. But we should eliminate saying this guy's a left tackle, that guy's a right tackle. We should totally eliminate that and really just say boy, he's got sweet feet. And this guy said, yo, he's got good feet, but not great. And stop declaring it left tackle versus right tackle, because in my mind, that is really a thing of the past. Speaking of the past, Fran, there's nothing you can do at this point to bet on the NBA or NHL playoffs or the Triple Crown horsing race or any of that stuff. It's gone. It's over. But you still can place a wager on any baseball games or the crazy odds on the presidential election, reality TV shows, or, of course, our beloved football. All you need to do is go to BetDSI, David Sally Indigo, .com, and use the promo code DRAFT10. Maybe the first time I've ever used the word indigo before, by the way. Anyway, BetDSI.com. Use the promo code DRAFT10, and you get $10 free. Do it now before we don't have this promotion anymore, and you miss out on 10 free bucks for football season, whether it's college football or the NFL. I don't care. BetDSI.com. Use the code DRAFT10 and tell them Indigo sent you.
Daddy Sodas.
Daddy Soda time, Fran. I can't wait to dive into some of these offensive linemen over the next couple months. Who are three guys you're really excited to watch?
Well, let me start off with one guy that has just really, he really blew me away the first time I watched him, and that's Dorian Johnson, the guard from Pitt. Just under 6'5", 6'4", 3/4 inches, 311 pounds. He's been the starting left guard there in Jim Chaney's pro-style offense out there in Western PA. Run a good mix of zone and gap scheme in that offense. So you saw him do a little bit of both. He played some tackle early in his career as a true freshman. Then he slid back inside to guard, hasn't looked back. He was second team All-ACC last year. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. So a really, really talented player. Sees things really quickly in pass protection. He's not fooled by stunts or twists inside. Very, very comfortable and in control. He does not look stressed whatsoever in his pass set. More so than most college guards. He only allowed one sack that I charted last year in the whole 2015 season. You can tell when you watch him with his feet that he played tackle before. Very confident, like I said, very under control and pass protection. He redirects really easily, mirrors very well with defensive linemen inside. He's got the ability to drop his anchor. He shows a good handle of how to take on a bull rush, knows how to use his hands throughout the down. And one of the things that I always like, Ross, and when I talk about a guy that I really like in terms of being a good player, maybe not always the good prospects do this, but I always look at it as FLI. First, low and inside, not indigo, but inside. And Dorian Johnson is always the first off the ball. He's low. He keeps his pads down to the ground, and his hands are always inside. And if you can do those three things, you're going to win more than you're going to lose. And I really, really like Johnson's ability to be able to do all three of those things. He's a solid puller, does a nice job getting up to the second level as well. He's got a strong grip, very tough to shed at the point of attack, has some nasty to him. You know, from a negative standpoint, he'll need to get a little bit bigger. Again, he's only 311 pounds, but still, that's not really bad weight. He's a pretty good-sized kid. Doesn't win every one-on-one matchup in the run game. Would like to see him get a little bit stronger. But to me, when I watched him, I thought he's got NFL starter written all over him. He's extremely well-rounded. Even though he's not a great athlete, I think he's good enough, like your former offensive line coach said, I think he's good enough to be effective in any scheme. Really disciplined. Displayed good technique in every facet. A lot of people really like the left tackle there, Adam Bisnawati, rightfully so. To me, he kind of reminded me a little bit of a poor man's Jason Spriggs that we just got done talking about all offseason leading up to this pass draft. But I like Dorian Johnson more. I think he's a 4.5 Daddy Soda guy. I think this guy's going to be a starter, and an early starter in the NFL.
Nice. He was very heavily recruited as well, and that was a big-time get for Pitt. Who else you got?
All right, well, let's go out west to USC, and they've got two tackles out there. First, on the left side, you've got Chad Wheeler, who's just under 6'7", 316 pounds. And on the right side, you've got Zach Banner, who is just a behemoth. He's always hovered around 350, and he's in that 6'7", 6'8 range. So you're talking about two really talented senior offensive tackles for the Trojans this year. Wheeler has started at left tackle. He's played for the new head coach, Clay Helton, in that pro-style system the last couple of years. He's got a good first step, gets off the ball well, gets out of his stance quickly. He's got really light feet and pass protection. He can protect the corner from speed rushers that come from distance. He mirrors and shuffles well as well inside. Sees things quickly, not fooled by stunts or blitzes. And in pass pro, his hands can wander a little bit, but overall, I thought he was patient. I thought he showed good quickness and the placement needed with his hands to contact the defender and anchor down against a bull rush. He can reset off that initial contact. And again, he comes off the ball really well in the run game. Good feel for the zone run scheme and getting up to the second level. I thought he was a natural bender, a good athlete. We talked about some of the athletic players on that USC offensive line. Talk about Max Turk, who was a second-round pick for the Chargers this past year at center. Wheeler's a good athlete in his own right as well. Every down competitor really played with an edge. I really enjoyed watching Chad Wheeler. He does need to add weight. He needs to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. Had some medical issues, was also suspended for the bowl game last year, so he'll have to check out off the field. But to me, this kid's a talented player. I would say in that 3.5 Daddy Soda type range.
Nice. All right. Yeah, and Banner's just absolutely humongous, like you said. They'll be a good team to watch and a good duo to watch. Give me one more, Fran.
All right, so the last one I'm going to go with is Ethan Pochich from LSU, 6'6". 316 pounds, and he plays center at that size. So he plays in Cam Cameron's pro-style offense. Last year, he applied for a grade from the NFL Draft Advisory Board this past offseason, got a second-round grade, nearly entered the draft, but decided to go back. So you know that this is a pretty top-level talent. He comes off the ball really well, really natural athlete. He can excel in space. He closes that athletic gap between the offensive line and the defensive line, thanks to his quickness, his agility, his change of direction. He's got good feet for an interior offensive lineman. He can slide and shuffle as well as any interior offensive lineman in this class. He only gave up one sack in this past season for the Tigers. Constantly working to keep his body in the right position. Really competitive kid. Shows a good understanding of angles and leverage in their run schemes. Really strong grip. Tough to shed at the point of attack. He was only penalized two times that I saw last year in their 12 games that they played. Very effective puller. He can work up to the second level, and he looks to drive opponents into the ground. And when I was doing some research on Pochich, I looked at his bio, and according to LSU, he led the team with 128.5 knockdowns last year, which, okay, you know, like I'm not crazy about those kind of numbers, especially the school supplies them, but I thought it was worthwhile to note that was the most that they had recorded for an LSU offensive lineman since 2010. So it kind of shows you the competitive nature, the nastiness, the toughness that he brings to the table. From a negative side, he has added weight every single year of his career, and I expect that to continue, but he will need to continue to get bigger and stronger, which all these guys need to do. I don't know how you feel about this, Ross, with those tall centers. Some people may think that he may need to slide out to guard just because it's 6'6", playing the leverage battle inside with some of those nose tackles that play right over top of you can get a little bit tough. But other than that, this kid's a pretty talented player. He's got the look of a starter inside. He's done it at both guard and center. He played both positions there at LSU. I think he's probably more of the former in terms of being a guard. Athletic, he's tough. If he can clean up some things with the technique, I think he'll be a top 75 pick. I think he's a four Daddy Soda kind of guy.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to watching him play. I've heard a lot about him. I do think that it can be problematic at times to be a center at that height. He's going to have some leverage issues, and that I wouldn't be surprised if he gets moved out to guard. You just don't see a lot of centers at that height. Really, really good interview today. Boy, that guy was good, and enjoyed your breakdowns as well, Fran. We are diving in full speed ahead to the conference previews next week. Get excited, everybody. We're going to go over the best players in the country in every league. Spread the word to your friends, family. Get your mom listening. Not enough of you have your mom listening to the College Draft Podcast. Give Fran a retweet and a follow at FDuffy3. You can also always converse with Fran over at tuckheads.com, or you can follow and retweet me at Ross Tucker NFL. If you're a Facebook person, that's cool. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Turn on the notifications and give us a like when we post the College Draft Podcast, like we will later today. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out. Guns N' Roses time.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.